Hi, everybody. This is David Guzik with Enduring Word, and I'm pleased that you could join me here this afternoon. Going to spend a little bit of time answering any questions that come in on the chat window and letting you know what's going on with me tomorrow. Usually, I like to do these YouTube live sessions on a Thursday, but I won't be able to do it this coming Thursday because I'm going to be leaving for a trip to Germany. Every May for the last, 15 years or so, well, it hasn't been quite 15, maybe about the last 12 years, we've been doing a conference in Siegen, Germany, the place where I formerly had a Bible college work that I worked with there. My wife and I, Ingalil, we had spent 7 very happy years there in Germany working on that. And so tomorrow, I'm going to leave with a good pastor friend of mine, Pastor Lance Ralston, and I'll be gone from the 3rd through the 15th of May. Appreciate your prayers for that time, because I think it'll be an important time where we connect with a lot of European pastors and believers and church leaders. And I really look forward to that time in Germany and connecting with those European pastors over the time. So, yes, it's going to be great to come back. And thank you, Oakley Fan 88. It's going to be great to return back to Siegen. We love that place. We call it our German homeland, our Deutsche Heimat. Because it is. It's a place where God really blessed us over 7 years there. Very happy to be there. So now what's different about this particular YouTube live session is on previous sessions, I've asked listeners to email in or social media in questions, and then I would answer here. Here, I want to switch to a format to see if it's viable to simply answer questions that come in from those on the live chat. And what I'm trying to do here is to figure out if I want to continue to do these YouTube videos on a live format. If the live traffic is enough and interactive enough to merit it, I'll keep doing them live. If not, I can just record them and post them. I'm enjoying, we've gone through a little bit of trouble to set up here in my little home office some suitable equipment and lighting and such for video. I think I'm pretty happy with how that's going. But I know we want to continue to produce video. It's just whether or not we're going to continue to do it in a live format. And a lot of that depends on whether or not we get good interaction during the chat format. What we find is that we have many more viewers after the fact, after the video is posted, than we do live. So maybe the better idea is for us to just produce them, take questions via social media, email, because as you might imagine, I get a lot of Bible questions from people. I get a lot of Bible questions because I do have an online commentary on the entire Bible. As of September last year, I could say that I do have this online commentary on the Bible. And having that commentary, people ask a lot of Bible questions, and I'm happy to answer them when I can. To be honest, sometimes it's a bit of a burden when people ask long, detailed questions that I get via email, and I can take a look and say, you know, it's going to take me a half hour or more to answer that question well. And so sometimes it's difficult in that regard. But all in all, I love the question and answer format. I love being able to interact with people and take their questions and their comments. So, yeah, if whatever comes in here this afternoon, we'll deal with. Otherwise, I'll just talk to you about briefly what's been going on with me. Again, I've been very much enjoying teaching these last many Wednesday nights at Calvary Chapel Santa Barbara. And tonight I'm going to be continuing there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, an amazing section there where Paul really emphasized with Timothy the need to continue in the things which he's learned, in light of the fact of the perilous, the dangerous times that are going to come in the last days. And I don't want to teach my whole Bible study that I'm going to do tonight here on this YouTube live session. But I got to say, my heart is pretty filled with this theme of the description that Paul gives in 2 Timothy chapter 3 about how bad things are going to be in the last days. And when we take that and continue to interact with that, at the very times we see around us now, we say, wow, we really are in the last days. All right, here I'm getting a question from Matthew. He says, I remember you touching on your opinion of the author of Hebrews at Calvary Chapel Bible College a couple semesters ago. Will you expound on who you think the author of Hebrews is? Look, I tend to be a little bit of a contrarian. If everybody's saying one thing, unless there's really compelling evidence to believe that one thing, I'll often just want to take a contrarian position. Maybe it's just sort of the rebelliousness of my heart. But, you know, it's commonly thought that the Apostle Paul wrote the letter to Hebrews. And I understand why people think that, why people say that. I've heard some pretty strong arguments for it. I actually, well, first of all, let me say, at the end of it all, we don't know who wrote the letter to Hebrews. If it was important for us to know, the scriptures would have told us, because we know who wrote so many of the other in the New Testament letters. It's important for us to realize that if we're not told who wrote Hebrews, there's a reason for it. So to take that off the table, we don't know. Now, is it a fun thing to sort of speculate about? Can it have some interest, some good use, and just sort of sorting out the issue? I believe so. And here's why I think that Paul did not write Hebrews. It's because in the letter to the Hebrews, and I can't remember the exact chapter and verse right now. I think it's in chapter 4, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. The reference is Paul talks about the gospel as something that was delivered to him by those who first heard it. And to me, that's a very striking example of the kind of statement Paul would not make. Paul was very insistent that the gospel came to him directly by a revelation of Jesus Christ there on the road to Damascus. That was an important thing for Paul to talk about. So Paul didn't view himself, we know from his other letters, as someone who received the gospel secondhand. So I find it significant that that statement is made in the letter to Hebrews, and it makes me think that probably Paul didn't write it. If I were to champion anybody, again, maybe it's just sort of my contrarian ways, I like the idea that Apollos wrote it. When we look at the profile, brief as it is, in the book of Acts of Apollos, someone who was smart, someone who was eloquent, someone who knew the scriptures, that seems to me to fit the kind of profile. But bottom line is, we really don't know. A lot of people insist Paul wrote. I have a little pet peeve. I don't like it when preachers refer to Hebrews as being written by Paul, as if the issue was settled. If they're teaching through Hebrews, look, it's not a big deal, but it's just something that I notice when people do. They say, and as Paul wrote, I said, well, we don't know Paul wrote that. So I have my own opinion about that. And if I were to say anybody that I believe that it was, I would say that it was Apollos, but we really don't know. Here's a question from OakleyFan88. He says, what do you say to people who tell you that the Bible is just a fairy tale? Well, first of all, the big difference between the Bible and any fairy tale is that the Bible is very deliberate in the way that it gives people, places, dates for the things that happened in it. This is not the kind of story that's once upon a time or in a galaxy far, far away. You know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about dates. We're talking about real people. We're talking about things that are verified. And when you just take a look at the historical and the archaeological evidence for the people, the places, the events of the Bible. Of course, not every person in the Bible is verified by history, but people like Jesus Christ are, Pontius Pilate are, the Apostle Paul is, on and on. We have these specific references from secular history to these people, or archaeological inscription, or so forth. So we have independent, secular, historical, archaeological confirmation of these things. Now, there's another idea, though, about the Bible being a fairy tale that a lot of people like to bring up, and they refer to the Bible just as a myth. And what they'll do is they'll compare the Bible to other ancient myths of the Near East, or what we might call the Middle East. And so they'll compare the mythological constructions of the Babylonian creation account, of this event happening, of that event happening, of Greek, Roman myths, all the rest. They'll kind of put it in the midst and say, the Bible's just another one of these cultural myths. I'm always struck by something that the great literary man C.S. Lewis said about that very subject. He wrote, and again, I'd have to look up the exact quotation, but I remember the paraphrase of it in my mind. C.S. Lewis wrote saying that when somebody told him that the Bible was just a collection of myths, he always wondered how well that person knew the myths. In other words, when you study these ancient myths and when you study the Bible, you see that there are a few similarities, of course. But what was striking to a scholar like C.S. Lewis was how different they were. So yes, there was a little bit of overlap between the two where there were, you know, similarities, but the overwhelming impression was, just a remark on the idea, look at how different the Bible is from these myths. And really, I think that if you look at these things with a critical eye, look, as Christians, we don't have to be afraid of critical examination of these things. Now, we want a fair critical examination. It is possible, and many people do it, they approach the Bible with such bias, with such hostility, with such presupposition that it could never be true or right. But if somebody approaches the Bible fairly, we don't mind a critical, analytical approach one bit, because the Bible can stand up to it. But when somebody does that, they will be struck, I believe, by the much greater differences between ancient myths and so-called fairy tales than the biblical record itself. Matthew, thank you for your response to the question regarding the authorship of Hebrews. It's great to hear you. Yeah, it would be great to get together and get some mochi again. Yeah, I would look forward. I really am looking forward to coming back to Europe just now in the next few days. Gary Weaver asks, hi, Gary, what's my favorite book by J. Edwin Orr? Man, that is a tough question. It gives me the opportunity to speak about it. So, Gary, I'm so happy that you asked that question, because right now I'm kind of immersed in a J. Edwin Orr project. I've had a friendship with Dr. Orr's daughter for a long time and Dr. Orr's widow, who's advanced in years. She's still living here in Southern California, but she is advanced in years. I've had a friendship with them for many years, and so they've given me a bit of access to some of Dr. Orr's archival materials. And I've got a whole wonderful collection of old cassette tapes that I've been digitizing. Now, on the website, jedwinorr.com, please remember that. Go to it. Look it up. jedwinorr.com. You'll find so many audio resources that I've already researched and posted on that website over the years, but I found more, and I'm going through them and researching them right now and digitizing them and seeing what might be suitable for putting up online. And I'm thinking of putting some of these J. Edwin Orr materials on my YouTube channel here. If you don't know who J. Edwin Orr was, J. Edwin Orr was a remarkable man who went to heaven a little more than 25 years ago. J. Edwin Orr was the most remarkable scholar, and I believe researcher and, I don't know, messenger of true biblical revival who lived in the 20th century. He was a remarkable man who had great influence on many Christian leaders. And I've just been so interested in the man's life and ministry for many years. I sort of took it upon myself to republish some of his works, to get his materials and his videos out accessible. Again, I'm thinking of putting some of them up on this YouTube channel. If you have an opinion about that, please let me know. But Gary, to get to your question, what's my favorite book by J. Edwin Orr? My favorite book by J. Edwin Orr, let me show you right here. It's this book, The Second Evangelical Awakening. Now, this book by Dr. J. Edwin Orr it's an amazing book that describes the second evangelical awakening that happened in America and in Great Britain. In America, the year was 1857 to 1858. In Great Britain, it was 1858 to 1859. But it was a remarkable work of God. Many people know it as the prayer meeting revival with Jeremiah Lamphere. This little book, J. Edwin Orr, does an amazing job documenting it, describing it, doing a wonderful job speaking. And here's the thing to remember is this book is in a remarkable scholarly achievement. He's got facts, figures, statistics, dates. Now, one of the reasons why I'm so taken with this particular book right now is that we're republishing it. Through the kind permission of the Orr family, we've started republishing, and we'll put a few of them in print and many more we'll put in digital format, the works of Dr. J. Edwin Orr. So the ones we've already republished are, if you excuse me, I'll go back to my books again right now. This book, Full Surrender, is one that we've already republished by Dr. Orr. It's a remarkable devotional work. And then the second one that I would say within a month or two, we'll have this one out in an inexpensive paperback edition. That's been the whole idea. Reproduce these in inexpensive paperback editions so that they can be, get out there. And look, I don't know if it matters to people or if I don't want to make a big deal about this, but we've communicated with the Orr family that any of the proceeds of the sales of these books that we publish from Dr. Orr, they'll be donated to a ministry that was very dear to Dr. Orr's heart and the heart of the Orr family called Evangelize China Fellowship, ECF. And it's a wonderful ministry reaching out not only to China, but to much of the Asian world. It's a very effective ministry. Dr. Orr was at one time for many years on the board of this ministry. And so any of the profits from these publishing works will go to Evangelize China Fellowship. So thanks, Gary, for asking about that. You got me started on something I love to talk about, the work of Dr. J. Edwin Orr. Obscuri asks, what kind of social media do you use? Well, I'm glad you asked that as well. You guys are setting me up for some great questions here. Look, I'm on Enduring Word is on Facebook, Enduring Word Commentary, if you just search for that. We're also on Instagram, Enduring Word Commentary or Enduring Word Com, and then as well on Twitter. The phrase to search for is just Enduring Word Commentary on any one of those platforms. And we're putting out content all the time, quotes from my commentary work, links to videos, thoughts from myself. Again, Enduring Word Com or Enduring Word Commentary is the phrase to search for on the platforms of Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we'd love for people to follow us. Look, I figure I'm doing this stuff anyway. If people want to be a part of it and, you know, lock into some of the ministry I'm doing, obviously, I'm delighted by that. So look for us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Gary, you wrote responding back for the J. Edwin Orr book. He says you'd like to have the book in my hand. What, Gary, email me. You can go to the enduringword.com website and you can order Full Surrender right now. This book is in print. The other one that we're going to republish, this remarkable book of the history of the Second Evangelical Awakening in the middle of the 19th century. Like I say, this one will be out in about a month. You can order them on Amazon or you can order them from enduringword.com. You're very welcome, Obscuri. Glad that you could ask your question. Really enjoy having the interaction here with our viewers, our live viewers here on the YouTube chat. I'll give it just a few minutes more to see if there's any further questions. I intended to go just around 20 minutes and we're getting close to that, but I don't want to shut anybody down if they're asking a further question. So if you have it, submit it. If not, we're going to close. And I don't mind asking you for prayer. I realize that many people are going to watch this after the fact. So, over the next 2 weeks, basically, from May 3rd through the 15th, I'll be in Europe ministering to European pastors, church leaders, and just believers who love the Lord. Appreciate your prayers. And as always, I appreciate your prayers for the ongoing work of Enduring Word. We feel like we've got something great let me just put it this way. I have a great love for God's word. I know how God draws near to me, and I believe I draw near to him in and through his word. I'm excited to share that with whoever might benefit from it. And so I just recommend you go to my commentary, enduringword.com. I've got a written commentary there on the whole Bible, and some people find it helpful. Obviously, no commentary works good for everybody. So if somebody doesn't care for my Bible commentary, I don't take the slightest bit of offense. There's people that, you know, are great Bible commentators that for whatever reason, they don't click with me. But again, this is very much my heart that I'd love for you to continue to pray for myself, especially as I travel, minister in an international way and for the ongoing work of Enduring Word and our work of translation of my Bible commentary into other languages. The basic thought is this, is that there are many free Bible resources available in English, and we should thank God for that. That's a wonderful thing. But there's not so many quality free Bible resources available in other languages. I'm very happy to say that my entire Bible commentary is translated into Spanish. And again, you can find that in enduringword.com. I love for Spanish-speaking people to get a hold of it and to use it. But we're working on translation work into other languages. We've got active translation works going on in Russian, Portuguese, Urdu, dominant language of Ethiopia, a few other languages that I can't even remember right now. But a couple projects that are so dear to my own heart are active work right now going on in Arabic and in simplified Mandarin. So just pray for me, pray for my travels, pray for the ongoing work of Enduring Word. And I'm really, really pleased you could join us here for today's online chat. I'll do it again. Look, as long as people are willing to come online and interact and ask questions, personally, I love doing this. I find a lot of satisfaction in just talking to people about the Bible and responding to their questions. So I don't know if we'll be able to do another one of these next week because I will be in Germany. If it's possible, maybe we'll do one live from Germany. If not, when I get back, we'll do another one. And I enjoy these live sessions and hope that you can subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can click the little bell so you'll receive notifications of when we are going to go live. And so happy that you could join us today. It's been a wonderful time. And we just pray for God's continued blessing on you. Thank you.